17. On Parnassos, 10 years ago. I can't help him, Siv said. The fever set in. It's too late.
Oh my, the droid said. That does look bad. Fortunately, our station's medbay is well equipped, and we would be pleased to administer the proper antibiotics.
Phasma approached the droid with her axe and spear ready. The stormtroopers flanked her with their blasters. Who are you, and why are you here? Phasma barked. The droid cocked its head at her.
I am TB3 of the Constar Mining Corporation. If your companion is currently dying, perhaps we should continue this discussion as we walk back to the station. It is not far.
Siv checked Brendel's pulse and found it uneven.
We need help, she said. Torben?
The big warrior quickly maneuvered Brendel onto the sled and hefted the packs himself. But Phasma still faced off with the droid.
Do you mean us harm?
Ha ha ha.
The droid's laugh was monotone and strange.
It is against my protocols to harm sentient beings. Indeed, my only wish is to serve you. Praise to the creators. As you can see, I am not equipped with weapons of any sort, nor are my brethren.
Your brethren?
There are 47 droids currently functional at Terp Sigiri Station. I am a protocol droid programmed to aid the human workforce with languages, statistics, strategies, and basic necessities. Please do follow me.
No one agreed, and yet the droid turned and shuffled away from them, pointing his light out into the desert. Siv stood from helping arrange Brendel and noted that the droid was walking in its own footsteps, a trail that went over the next dune. Phasma knelt beside Brendel, looked at his wound, and hissed through her teeth.
You're right. It's too far gone.
He must be saved,
one of the stormtroopers said.
No matter the cost.
Do you trust this droid?
Phasma asked him. He shrugged.
Looks like I don't have a choice.
Hefting his pack, he followed the droid. The other two stormtroopers fell in behind him. Siv and the Skyr warriors looked to Phasma.
Brendel is our only hope. We don't have a choice either.
Phasma took up her pack and hurried after the troopers, and Torben doggedly followed her, towing Brendel behind him. The droid lit the way. Siv felt as if she were still half asleep, dragging her boots through the sand and gritting her teeth against the nighttime cold. No one spoke, and Siv kept close to Brendel, even though his wound was beyond her meager skills as a healer. Dawn was just beginning to light the sky when the droid stopped before an especially steep dune. His trail had long ago been covered by the shifting sands, but he seemed to know exactly where he was going. Although she didn't see any gender characteristics in his physicality, something about the droid's voice and gait struck her as masculine, and so she thought of TB3 as a him.
Oh goodness. The winds are so brutal. One moment.
The Skyr warriors shared a look of suspicion as the droid dug around in the dune.
Ah, here it is.
The wall of sand shuddered, and a layer of gray fell away to reveal an unnatural opening. I know what a door is, of course, but Siv had never seen anything like it. She described it as if the world as she knew it had opened up to reveal a strange mechanical heart. Inside, the gray sand met a smooth white floor with matching walls and a ceiling covered in lights.
Welcome to Terp Sigiri Station, the prime mining facility of the Constar Mining Corporation on Parnassus. Please enter so I can shut the door and keep too much sand from blowing in. We can't have the mouse droids getting fussy.
As if on cue, a tiny black droid rolled in from somewhere and started busily sucking up the sand that was beginning to swirl down the clean hallway. Although Phasma usually took the first steps in any engagement, this time she looked to the troopers. Even Phasma was intimidated by entering a building for the first time, when the Nautilus had been the only enclosed space she'd ever known. The troopers walked inside and moved a little farther down the hallway, as if everything was utterly normal, so Phasma followed them, but delicately, as if she expected the floor to collapse underneath her worn boots. Once she had crossed the threshold, she motioned for her people to join her, and Siv stepped onto the smooth floor, trailed by Gosta and Torben pulling Brendel behind him. As soon as they were all inside, the droid pushed a button, and the door slid closed. In that moment, a great sense of terror washed over Siv. She was enclosed, utterly unable to see the sky. Even in the Nautilus, they had a skylight. But here, everything was unnatural and nothing familiar. She wanted to hunch down on the ground, and she felt as if the building might fall on her at any moment and crush her. Judging by Torben's unsmiling face and Gosta's shifting eyes, Siv wasn't alone.
"This way to the medbay,"
TB3 said, leading them down the hall. They followed, and Siv marveled at the things she saw in the station. There were windows in the walls covered with clear panes to show wonders of the past world that Siv had never witnessed in their entirety. She was a little familiar with antiquities, but she'd never seen an intact table and chairs, much less a computer bank or collection of factory machines. In some rooms, droids stopped to watch them go by, and Siv felt strange to be stared at by machines with eyes. The hallway twisted and turned, and sometimes TB3 would push another button to open a new door. Eventually, he led them into an open room filled with machinery. Three droids waited beside a metal platform, all bulkier than TB3.
"Please place the patient on the bed,"
one said, holding out an arm.
"Praise to the creators."
Torben looked to the troopers, and one of them gave him a nod. The big warrior took Brendel in his arms like a baby and carefully laid him on the bed, arranging his arms and legs so that his body was contained. Stepping back beside Siv, Torben murmured,
"I've never felt a fever so hot. He's as good as gone."
The droids immediately began performing actions that Siv didn't understand, scanning Brendel and injecting him with fluids.
"Now that your companion is being treated, please come with me to discuss payment options,"
TB3 said. One of the stormtroopers groaned, but Siv didn't yet understand what was happening.
"I should stay with him," she said.
"One of us should,"
the female trooper shot back. TB3 held out his arms to herd them out of the room.
"Please allow the med droids to perform their function. Your companion has a 72% chance of survival at the moment, but any stress or unfamiliar pathogens could lower his odds. We'll be just down the hall."
The droid led them into a room dominated by a long table with several chairs.
"Please have a seat, and I will return with the data work. Perhaps you would like some refreshments?"
"This is confusing," Torben said. "Can I kill it?"
Before Phasma could answer, TB3 hurried from the room, closing the door behind him.
"Droids,"
one of the troopers muttered.
"They can get strange if they're not properly calibrated. This one seems a bit eccentric." "And why haven't we seen any people?"
another trooper said.
"Something's wrong here."
The door slid open to reveal another droid. This one squat and rolling, carrying a tray loaded with drinks and food. Siv and the Skyer folk hesitated, but the troopers took off their helmets and began eating and drinking. Phasma took a tentative sip of a drink, and Siv was glad enough to follow her leader's example. The water was plentiful and cool, and the food was strange, smooth and sweet, and she wanted to go on eating it forever.
"Are we sure this is safe?" Phasma asked, holding up a piece of foodstuff.
"Look at it this way,"
a trooper said.
"If these droids wanted us dead, they could have killed us in the desert. They could have gassed us in this compound. Maybe TB3 doesn't have weapons, but there are more of them here than there are of us. Whoever's running this place must want us alive, or else we wouldn't be."
And then he went back to eating. When the food was gone, TB3 reappeared carrying a working data pad. He stood at the head of the table and pointed out numbers that flashed on the lit screen.
"Constar Mining Corporation is pleased to report that your companion is alive, and his infection is under control. Our protocols suggest he remain here, resting and under care in the medbay for at least 2 days. How would you care to reimburse the Constar Mining Corporation for this medical care?
Reimburse? Phasma asked.
He wants creds,
a trooper said.
Payment. Nothing is free.
Correct. Here is the bill.
TB3 slid the datapad to the trooper, and Phasma stood to look over his shoulder. From where she sat, Siv could only see endless lists of symbols that made no sense. The trooper barked a laugh and carelessly tossed the datapad back.
We don't have creds. Maybe you could send a bill to the First Order, but we're just soldiers, not accountants.
The droid's head drooped as if he were disappointed to hear this.
Unfortunately, we are temporarily unable to transmit data off-planet. If your companion wishes to leave, either the bill must be paid, or your group can accept positions with Constar Mining Corporation as laborers. With a 60-day plan, you can work off this debt while enjoying comfortable accommodations and employee benefits. Praise to the creators.
What does this mean? Phasma asked the trooper beside her.
To be blunt, either we take jobs to pay them off or Brendel dies.
But we don't have 60 days. We must get to the ship. The trooper looked up at TB3.
Can we have a few moments?
The droid inclined his head and said,
Of course. I will return shortly.
Before disappearing out the door and closing it behind him. Can we fight our way out? Phasma asked, and the trooper motioned her close.
Keep it down. They might have listening devices. As it is, we don't know who's running this place or where the main control room is, so chances are we wouldn't be able to get Brendel and escape before they took action against us.
Phasma considered it. So we need Brendel whole, and we need to know more. We should accept these positions, gather the information we need, and escape. The trooper shrugged.
It's our only option, really. But there are advantages. They might have vehicles we could use to get to the ship faster. And the General will know what to do when he's awake again. He's a master tactician.
TB3 had left the datapad on the table, and Phasma pulled it over and experimented with it, dragging her finger here and pressing there. Her eyes took on a gleam of fascination, and Siv realized she'd never seen Phasma this interested in anything. Phasma looked at everything as a tool, but she looked at the datapad almost as if it were holy. Show me how this works, she said, and the trooper took it and started pressing buttons. The droid returned and fussily reclaimed the datapad.
Have you made your decision?
We'll accept your offer, Phasma said.
The stormtroopers looked at one another, but no one spoke against her.
Praise to the creators. We are all so very pleased. Let us begin immediately.
The droid took their fingerprints and said many things that Siv didn't understand. And then he announced them to be Constar Mining Corporation employees.
And now it's time for a brief orientation disc.
The lights went down, but not so much that Siv panicked, and a brightly lit moving picture appeared on the smooth white wall, along with the patter of a cheerful woman's voice.
Welcome to Constar Mining Corporation. We're glad you've decided to join us on beautiful Parnassos, where you'll be part of a unique community of pioneers on this exclusive planet.
The image panned out from a large white box, making Siv dizzy. And the box grew tiny, surrounded by mountains and green, and then oceans of crystal blue.
Parnassos is rich with metals and minerals, and we've specially designed your habitat to bring familiar comfort to your species.
The image zoomed back in and moved inside the flat thing, the scene changing so quickly that Siv felt her stomach swoop. She recognized the hallway that had led into this very room.
You'll be living in Terpsichore Station, situated in a rich valley replete with nature's bounty. It's just a short tram ride to the Siren Sea for a day at the beach.
The image showed something shiny and silver, zipping along two tracks cutting through the green. Then a man, a woman, and two children stepped out and waved their arms. The image changed, and the family smiled by the ocean. But it wasn't the dark, forbidding, cold ocean that lapped at the rock walls of the Skyre and teemed with hungry beasts. This water was light blue, and welcoming with a sandy bottom, and the children ran willingly into it, splashing around and laughing. "This is insane," Siv muttered to Phasma.
"This is what Parnassos might have been over 100 years ago."
Phasma snorted, watching the always smiling people on the green lawn throw a red ball for a four-legged animal with a floppy tongue to chase.
"Our ancestors were strange. Strange and soft."
The images and booming voice went on and on. Siv learned that the flat thing was a building, and the zipping silver thing was a tram. She saw labs, factories, mines, and endless rows of tidy homes with every sort of peculiar comfort provided by machines that were now just bundles of rust stowed in the Nautilus. She learned that there had once been dozens of separate communities on Parnassos, each with its own station and purpose. And she discovered that once, long ago, this sandy desert had been a fertile green valley full of plants, animals, and eerily happy human beings, all brought to the lush planet to work for Konstar.
"And so we welcome you to Terpsichore Station, where your today protects our tomorrow. We're certain you'll be very happy here."
The screen went white, and the light blinked out, leaving them in momentary darkness.
"Do you think,"
Gosta said, sounding awed,
"that maybe the Skyre was named for the Siren Sea?"
"And why do they keep saying praise to the creators? Do they really love whoever made them?"
Torben asked. A trooper shook his head.
"I told you, droids get strange when they're not kept properly."
"It doesn't matter," Phasma said firmly. "The past is dead, and the droids aren't our business. Our only aim is to get out of here and finish the mission before someone else can."
The lights came back up, and a new droid strode into view. While TB3 looked harmless, meek, and subservient, this new droid reminded Siv of a tool, of something blunt made only to do work.
"Hello and welcome to Konstar Mining Corporation. Praise to the creators. I am D473 and I will assign your tasks. Normally you would be given a barrage of tests to assign you to the correct position for your abilities, but time is of the essence and quotas are overdue, so you will all be working in the mine. I do hope you find this acceptable."
"We're not miners,"
one of the troopers barked.
"We demand to speak to a supervisor."
D473 clasped his metal hands, his head cocked in an apologetic sort of way.
"I'm so sorry, worker, but we are very short-handed right now. The supervisor is currently unavailable. It is hoped that reinforcements from the main office will be sent shortly, praise to the creators. Konstar Mining Corporation regrets this inconvenience. Now please enjoy this mining orientation disc. Praise to the creators."
The droid exited, the room went dark again, and a new image appeared on the screen. Instead of pretty pictures of the past, this disc informed Siv of how mining was performed and what tasks would be required of them. She learned about proper safety procedures, what to do in case of a cave-in, and to always wear a hard hat and carry her Konstar data pad, which would warn her of gas leaks and let her know when rest breaks were allowed. The people on the white wall smiled as they did their work, in long tunnels that resembled the Nautilus but didn't contain the paintings done in blood, or the collections of carvings and ritual objects.
"They're going to use us to do this work?"
Gosta asked.
"Only until Brendel is better," Phasma answered. "And then we shall see."
The door opened, but instead of a droid, they heard only a voice. The same calm female from the disc.
"Please follow the red line to the barracks for outfitting. Praise to the creators."
On the wall, a red line appeared, snaking away and disappearing down a curve. Phasma went first, and Siv realized that with Brendel out of the picture, the troopers had calmly accepted her leadership. They walked at the pace Phasma set, slowing to look at each new opening in the wall. Siv knew Phasma well enough to know that she was gathering knowledge to inform her future choices, trying to learn everything she could about this new environment. The red line terminated in an open door. The room within lit that same cold light, so different from the sun outside. Racks of hanging cloth stood along the walls. Another droid waited there, silent and still until they'd all entered the room.
"I am D-477,
it said in a softer woman's voice.
"I will fit you for your uniforms, praise to the creators. Please step up one at a time."
All eyes went to Phasma.
"Why?"
she asked.
"All Constar Mining Corporation employees are required to wear the appropriate uniform,"
the droid replied calmly.
"And if we refuse?" Phasma asked.
The droid's head canted toward her in a way that reminded Siv of a predatory insect known for biting the head off its mate after laying eggs.
"You will show respect for the creators and follow orders, or your terms of servitude will lengthen accordingly."
Phasma stood firm.
"I did not agree to this foolishness, and will perform my duties as I am."
The droid's head sparked, and Siv drew back.
"Does not compute, praise to the creators. All employees will follow orders, and all droids will follow creator protocol."
The group tensed until the droid stopped sparking and regained its calm. It straightened its head and reached into the rack, withdrawing a folded cloth hanging from a twisted bit of metal wire.
"This should fit,"
it said, holding it out to Phasma. She took it, but did nothing further.
"Please do try it on,"
the droid said, polite again.
"We want you to be comfortable, praise to the creators."
Phasma nodded at the droid, but as it began to turn back to the rack, she yanked the cloth off the wire and whipped it around the droid's head to cover its facial sensors. Placing a boot in its chest, she kicked it over backward. It fell to the ground with a heavy clank, and in a heartbeat, Phasma was straddling its torso, jamming the metal wire into its eyehole. One of the troopers fell to his knees by her side, scrabbling for a panel on the droid's chest and digging his fingers in, trying to pry it open. The droid's hands flailed and reached for its assailants, but it was clearly unaccustomed to combat. The other two troopers each sat on an arm, and Torben restrained the droid's legs as the first trooper got the panel open and began yanking out wires by the fistful.
"Required! Required! Praise! Praise! Does not!"
the droid screamed. The lights clicked off, a klaxon began to ring, and something wet fell from overhead. Siv turned her face up to the ceiling, amazed by the concept of falling liquid, like the harmless rain she remembered from her childhood. But it wasn't water. She breathed in the foul, unnatural odor, and everything went black.